time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Tuesday, August 20th, 2019. We have 16 vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. In our marine weather forecast, we have a small craft advisory in effect from this evening through Wednesday afternoon, and that is kind of a foreshadowing of the approach of fall. We start to get these small craft advisories as we sort of slide slowly into the fall season, and then they become much more prevalent, happen much more often toward the end of the year and on into the winter. But today, overall, in our marine weather forecast, we have south winds 5 to 10 knots, gusting to 15, rising to 10 to 15 with gusts to 20 in the afternoon. And that range for small craft advisory is 20 to 34 knots, so it's kind of creeping up into that region where small boats need to be careful out there on the water even more than usual because of the wind. Wind waves from the south 2 feet high at 4 seconds between wave crests, and west swells 4 feet at 11 seconds. And just a little bit of astronomical and meteorological trivia. We are 12 days away from the start of meteorological fall, which is September 1st. And so there are meteorological seasons for assessing weather data, and there are the astronomical seasons. So meteorological fall begins September 1st, and it goes through the months of September, October, and November. Meteorological winter is December, January, and February. Meteorological summer is June, July, and August. And meteorological spring is considered to be March, April, and May. And so you'll start, and we do start experiencing fall weather in early September. So that does make sense from a feeling point of view. Astronomically, in terms of astronomy and the position of the planet, we have the summer solstices and the winter solstices and the vernal and autumnal equinoxes that are have to do with the position of the sun relative to other celestial bodies. So that's a different story, but we are only 12 days away from meteorological fall. And there have been a few times this month when I have felt fall in the air. Maybe you have too, that feeling of like a shift, kind of a crispness that is a little bit different from that summer feeling. So a little bit about the days. The days are getting shorter. Tomorrow will be 3 minutes shorter than today. Sunrise today, 6:21 a.m. and sunset at about 8:15. The day will be 13 hours and 53 minutes long, and then 3 minutes shorter tomorrow. And today we're going to be talking about, there's sort of an ongoing race, it seems, in the world of shipbuilding to keep building the world's largest container ship, and they keep getting a little bit bigger all the time. So I want to talk with you about the one that is currently the world's largest container ship, also talk with you about the kinds of container ships that used to come into the Columbia River when we had a lot of container ships, and how they compare in size to this one that is now the largest in the world. So we'll talk about that in a minute. And this is all about cargo capacity, about carrying cargo, economies of scale, carrying as much cargo safely from one place to another as you can. So shipbuilders are always maximizing space on board ships, and they do that in several ways. So I'll talk about that with you in just a minute. But first, let's take a look at the ships that are coming and going on the Columbia, none of which are anywhere near as large as the one that is the largest container ship in the world. We have 3 inbounders, we have 6 in our Astoria anchorages, and we have 7 outbounders heading downriver and out to sea. Our first arrival in the river is the new Optima. She is arriving from South Korea, headed for Kalama's anchorage. She'll pass Astoria about 5 a.m. and arrive in Kalama by about 10 a.m. The Florida is arriving from Port Angeles, headed for Portland. She's a petroleum tanker, and she is probably going to pass Astoria around 9 p.m. and arrive in Portland by about 3 a.m. on Wednesday morning. The Southern Highway is arriving from San Francisco. She's a car carrier with brand new Hondas on board. She will pass Astoria around 9:30 p.m. You might see her at the Port of Portland by about 3:30 in the morning on Wednesday. At least her running lights as she goes by. Unless you happen to work at the Port of Portland, and then you'll see her pull into a berth. In our Astoria anchorages, we have the MSXT Athena awaiting orders, the Nord Columbia, the Pan Daisy, the Lamisos Wind, the Four Coal, and in the Rice Island anchorage, a little bit upriver from Astoria, the Blessed Luck 7 is awaiting orders there. On our outbounders, the Fortune Rainbow is leaving Kalama around 1 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 6 p.m., the Equalus Leader. And I think in Latin, the word Equalus means little horse. That's kind of an interesting side note about that ship name. She is leaving Portland around 3 p.m. with brand new Toyotas on board, passing Astoria outbound around 9 p.m. The articulated tug and barge rig, the Sound Reliance, a Crowley Maritime-owned vessel, is leaving Portland, refined petroleum on board, leaving around 3:30 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 9:30 p.m. The Tufty is leaving Longview carrying logs at about 4:30 p.m. That would put her past Astoria outbound maybe around 8 p.m. The Mount Rainier is leaving Longview with logs on board around 5 p.m., and she'll pass Astoria around 8:30 p.m. And the Asian Glory is leaving Portland carrying Hyundais about 6 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around midnight. And the Endurance SW is leaving Calama with corn, soy, or wheat on board, leaving around 10:30 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 3:30 a.m. on Wednesday. Let's take a look at the world's largest container ship. Now, containers, you know, probably are, but just a quick refresher, are those 20-foot, usually 20, 40-foot long boxes that we see on semi-trucks and trains. They're used to haul cargo all over the world, and they were a really cool invention that changed the whole character of shipping when they were invented. And so a lot of cargo, most things, especially manufactured items, get carried inside containers. So the world's largest container ship, it's called the MSC Gusun, has completed its maiden voyage from Asia to Europe. And it's owned by the MSC Mediterranean Shipping Company. The AIS tracking data shows the ship arrived in Bremerhaven, Germany, after completing its journey from northern China. It is some 400 meters long and more than 60 meters wide. It has a remarkable 23,756 TEU capacity. That means that it can handle that many 20-foot shipping containers. The record-setting capacity means the ship can emit less CO2 per container carried. So all those economies of scale that I was talking about earlier have to do also with ship fuel consumption, because fuel is what is one of the biggest costs. Fuel and people are the biggest costs on board a ship. So it was built in South Korea. The vessel is the first in a class of 10 ultra-large container vessels that are called ULCVs to be delivered to the MSC Shipping Company. So during its maiden voyage, the ship set sail from the port of Tanjung Pelepas in Malaysia with a record-setting 19,574 TEUs loaded before making its way through the Suez Canal toward Europe. And so it's fuel efficient compared to other container ships that were smaller. And so it's sort of all about making this this trip cheaper and more, and certainly to comply with international regulations on fuel and pollution that are going to kick in ensuing years. But a little bit about comparing this gigantic ship to ships that we have seen on the Columbia. So the MSC Gulson, I'll translate this all into feet for you. 1,312 feet long by 202 feet wide. Her deadweight capacity of cargo is 1,907,500 tons, and she can carry almost 24,000 containers. She's 108 feet tall and draws 40 feet of water. Now compare her to the Hanjin London, which was a container ship, a part of the fleet of container ships that used to come into the Columbia. She, by comparison, 915 feet long by 132 feet wide, and her capacity was 67,298 tons. She could only carry about 5,300 containers, which is a lot, but she drew 24 feet of water. And so she can carry four times the container capacity of that ship. And actually, she could fit into the Columbia because of her height and draft would fit under our bridges here and in with our depth. But she's massive, so she would take up a lot of the ship channel. So probably won't see her here anytime soon. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.